thank God for the peace of God that passeth all understanding. A peace the world cannot give, and a peace the world cannot take away. The one thing the people in the world search for, spend millions of dollars to try to obtain, travel many, many places, go to many places, searching for peace. And the Bible says, there is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. No matter what the world may offer a person that is in their sins, there is no possible way for that person to have peace outside of a relationship with God. God so created man that as long as man was not in fellowship with God, he would never have peace. There's something within our being that cries out for a relationship with God. And unless we have that relationship right with God, there is no peace. And the tragedy of our day and time is that there are multitudes of people who are living on tranquilizers that need not be on tranquilizers if they only had their relationship right with God. There may be a time that some people may have to do to get through a nervous condition, but I believe there are countless numbers of people who have to keep themselves under the influence of some drug, some alcohol, or something in order that they might maintain themselves or live with themselves. I'm glad, thank God, we can have a relationship with God that will enable us to live with Him and ourselves. Amen. And we don't have to reach for something external to offer that peace to us. We have it deep within when we have the Lord Jesus Christ. And because our peace is not from our external, caused by external surroundings, that even in the midst of a storm, you can have peace. Because it's an internal relationship with God. If you have your Bibles, you'll turn with me to 1 Timothy, the 4th chapter. I'd like to read verses 1 through verse 9. Paul, writing his young preacher of the faith, very close relationship between Paul and Timothy. Paul considered Timothy his spiritual son. He loved him in a very dear manner. He was concerned about his relationship. And we find that he's speaking to Timothy about his pastoral ministry there in Ephesus, trying to encourage him to maintain his stand for the Lord Jesus Christ and to preach sound doctrine against those errors that had crept within the church. In verse 1 he says, "Now the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith." And Paul considered that even then they were living in the latter times. That some shall depart from the faith. They would apostatize. They would lose their confidence in the faith, the teachings, the doctrines of Jesus Christ and the apostles. They would lose their confidence in this sound teaching and doctrine, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. They could no longer feel any remorse about sin or error. Forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. There was a sect that was in the church and in that age that taught men that all material things were evil. All flesh was evil. Only the spirit was right. Therefore they said, in order to better make it, you should abstain from all meats, anything to eat as much as you could. And that you should keep yourself from marrying because they considered that to be evil. Yet we know that God has created this, and they were speaking against it. Then he says in verse 4, for every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified or set apart by the word of God in prayer. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ. I thought as I read that how I desire to be a good minister of Jesus Christ. I want to be a good minister of Jesus Christ. And the way I could be a good minister in Jesus Christ is by propounding and preaching the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. I would be a good minister if I would nourish myself up in the words of faith and good doctrine and good teaching. I endeavor to do that. I desire to do that. And every good minister should desire that. And of good doctrine whereunto thou hast obtained. But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth a little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. I'd like to read the translation from the Amplified Bible of verse 7 and 8. Verse 7 and 8, translated in the Amplified Bible, reads like this. But refuse and avoid irreverent legends, profane and impure and godless fictions, mere grandmother's tales, and silly myths, and express your disapproval of them. Train yourself toward godliness or piety. Keep yourself spiritually fit, for physical training is of some value, useful for a little while, but godliness, spiritual training is useful and of value in everything and in every way, for it holds promise for the present life and also for the life which is to come. The Living Bible translates these two verses this way. Don't waste time arguing over foolish ideas and silly myths and legends. Spend your time and energy in the exercise of keeping spiritually fit. Bodily exercise is all right, but spiritual exercise is much more important and is a tonic for all you do. So exercise yourself spiritually and practice being a better Christian, because that will help you not only now in this life, but in the next life too. I would like to talk to you about spiritual fitness. I would like to talk to you about getting yourself in spiritual shape. When I thought about the theme for the month in Evangel Temple, We Are Family, it set off a train of thought in my mind as I thought how we could expand upon that theme in our ministry for the month. When I thought about We Are Family, I thought about something I've heard a great deal in my lifetime. Not only heard it, but I have repeated it to other people. I thought about a little saying that I think everybody here will identify with this morning. How many times have you ever heard these words? You owe it to your family. Any of you ever heard that little statement? Well, sometimes your wife may be telling you that. And sometimes somebody else may be telling you that. Even your children may tell you that sometimes. But when I thought about that, I thought about the times that in my lifetime I have been reminded of what I owe to my physical family, my family after the flesh. They'd say to me, Brother Jack, you owe it to your family to spend more time with them. You owe it to your family to take out more insurance. You owe it to your family to take a little more time off and spend with them. You owe it to your family these many, many different things. In other words, they said, you hold a responsibility to your family. And I believe that as a husband and as a father in the flesh, and a grandfather, I believe in the flesh, I do owe my family some things. But as I thought about what I owed to my family in the flesh, as father, as husband, as grandfather, as uncle, or whatever, I begin to think about what I owe to my spiritual family. I owe something to my spiritual family. I look out at you this morning. You are my brothers and sisters. If you've been saved, you're my brother. You're my sister. Oh, I know we've moved uptown. When I was saved in the rural churches that I was saved in and ministered in when I first became a pastor, in the rural areas, we often identified one another as brother and sister. But across the years, we've sort of lost that. We don't like to say brother so-and-so. That's too rural or country. But I think we need to get that identity back with one another. Does me good for somebody to say, hey, brother. And somebody say, you mean that's your brother? Yeah, in the Lord. And so there is that family relationship that we have when we're born again and we're saved. We are born again of one blood. We become one race. We become one family. We become one nation. Thank God for the blood of Jesus Christ that makes us one in the Lord. Family is made up of all kind of people, from all kind of backgrounds, from all kind of nations. And the mystery of the gospel is how that God, through Jesus Christ, brought us all together and put us into one family with one head. Thank God for the family. But I want to know about this local family, this church family, this Evangel Temple family that I endeavor to pastor. And that I'm a part of, and you are a part of, and if you visit here, God bless you. We want you to feel that you're welcome. But I want to talk to you about something that's been said to me, and when they say what you owe to your family. Many times people have said to me, Brother Jack, you owe it to your family to keep yourself in good health. You owe it to your family to keep yourself physically fit. Now, I became aware of that a few years ago, and so I decided I would become a jogger. Just because I felt like that it would be good for me physically. And so I am a jogger. I try to jog some 20 to 30 miles a week, consistently. And I want you to know that when I started, it hurt. And it still hurts. But a lot of times when I'm running out there, I get to thinking I'm doing this for my family. And so if I run an extra mile, that might mean I'll hang around a little longer. But there was something that I needed to do for myself physically. You might not believe this, but my two associates here on the platform, I eagerly encouraged them to join the Y. Brother David on my right, he's like me. He's trying to take it off. My brother on the left, David, is trying to put it on. But we're doing something physical to try to better ourselves. So we'll look better. We'll have more wind, more energy, and we'll feel better. And so I took it up to task, and I became sincere with it, and I run wherever I am. When I'm on vacation, I run. When I'm at councils, I run. Whether I'm in Florida or California, I take my running shoes. I do it consistently. I made up my mind I was going to get in earnest with it. I was going to be sincere with it. But when I think about what I owe, and I've been talking about physical fitness, I got to thinking about what we owe to our spiritual family. And did you know one of the things we owe our spiritual family today? We owe it to our spiritual family to keep ourselves spiritually fit. We owe it to one another to get ourselves in good spiritual shape. Can you imagine what would take place in this church if every member of this family would get ourselves in good spiritual shape? Can you imagine? Now that's what Paul was talking to Timothy about. That's what Paul was saying to Timothy when he said, Timothy, and you got to remember that when Paul and Timothy lived, physical exercise was something that they emphasized a great deal in a young man's education. They looked on the body as something that ought to be cared for, and they spent many hours in physical training trying to build up the body. They spent many hours in the gymnasium. And when a young man was in his teen years, a part of his required course of learning was that he would spend many, many hours in the gymnasium building his body up, taking care of his body in physical exercise. So when Paul wrote Timothy about a physical exercise, they lived in a society that really believed that man ought to take care of himself physically. So when Paul wrote Timothy, being aware of the time and the energy that people spent on their physical exercise, he said to young Timothy, he said, Timothy, I don't mind you, and I think it's right that a man would spend some time taking care of his physical body. I think it's all right for a man to spend some time in physical exercise. I think it's all right for a man to spend some time in the gymnasium. But he said, we must keep everything in proper perspective. And he said, it's far better for a man to spend his time in spiritual exercise than it is physical exercise, because physical exercise will only do for a little while, but spiritual exercise will not only bless you in this life, but in the life to come. So I want to tell you, you owe it to this church family to get yourself spiritually fit. The problem with it is so much of the time your pastor has to spend so much of his time trying to get the congregation, the membership, in spiritual shape. If we could get in spiritual shape, then we could advance our outreach and begin to win more people to Jesus Christ. Just suppose that everybody walked into this church, every member of this church that came here this morning was in the most excellent spiritual health. What a joy it would be to know that as I looked on your faces, I'm looking in the faces of people that could say, I'm in great shape, Brother Jack. I'm in great spiritual shape. You talk about a move of God and a revival that would shake this city. If this family would get in good spiritual shape, we would move this city for God. But every pastor knows the difficulty he has and keeping people in good spiritual shape. In fact, I can't keep you in spiritual shape. No way I can get you in spiritual shape. No more than you can jog for me. You can't jog for me. And he said at home, saying, what are you doing, Brother Jack? I'm getting in shape. How are you getting in shape? Well, so-and-so's running 5 miles for me today. Or I'm sitting around, I'm getting in great spiritual shape. You are? Yeah, so-and-so's eating the right food for me. Don't make sense, does it? You'll never get in physical shape by somebody else eating for you, doing your exercises for you. And you won't get in spiritual shape by your pastor and Sunday school teachers doing it all. There are some things we must do for ourselves to get spiritually fit. I thought about Paul when he came to the end of his race, when he was about to be beheaded by Nero, when he said, I am now ready to be offered up, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept my faith. You know what he could say that? He came to the end because all during his Christian life, he kept himself in spiritual fitness. He was in good spiritual shape. I ask you this morning, how many of you could say, I am now ready to be offered up? I am now in the kind of spiritual shape that I know that I'm just ready to meet God. How many of you would say, there's a few more exercises I need to get through before I'm ready? There's a little more training. I need to go back to the gymnasium. There's some things I need to do to get myself in spiritual shape. Spiritual shape. spiritual fitness. We live in a land where more money is spent than ever before on people's spirit or physical fitness. We spend millions of dollars eating foods that are high in calorie content, and then we spend millions of dollars trying to burn it off. Run for your life, we see everywhere. You do this, and spiritual fitness, physical fitness is a mania in our country, and I'm not opposed to that. But I want you to know this morning, if we could get God's people to be as earnest about their spiritual fitness as some people are about their physical fitness, we could have a mighty move of God. Amen. I look at the dedication and the commitment of people who are trying to obtain some sort of physical fitness. I think of the miles they run. I think of the denials they deny themselves of. I think about their diet on many occasions. And they press and they work and they labor and they sweat. I want to get myself in physical shape. Then I see Christians who are so spiritually flabby. And they don't want to spend any energy or any time in getting in spiritual shape. Did you know, my friends, to be strong in the Lord, to grow in the Lord, and to mature in the Lord will take effort. How many of you this morning would like to be spiritually fit? Glory. As I was preparing this message, the Holy Ghost stopped me right in the middle of it. He spoke these words to me, I believe, in a very definite way. He said, Jack, do you really believe these are the last days? I said, yes, I believe these are the last days. Because of the way the Lord has dealt with me lately, the messages He has led me to preach, the position I believe I must take, I believe that I am aware of the fact that we are coming to the end of the church age. And as the Holy Spirit spoke to me, He said, then you know what, Jack? One of the greatest things you could do for God's people is to encourage them to become spiritually strong for what lies out there before us. I believe, friends, we are going to be confronted with things as we wait upon the Lord we may have never been confronted with before. Already we're being faced with things we never thought we would be faced with. And I believe with all my heart it's going to demand that God's people get themselves in spiritual shape not to be overcome by the world. Pressure from every direction. Always eating away at us, always trying to push us to conform. We're always resisting. And I'll tell you, friends, those that make it are people that are going to pay the price. Get themselves in spiritual shape. I've seen many people get on a physical program to get themselves in physical shape and do it for a while and get in pretty good shape, only to quit and lose all the ground they have ever gained. If we had all the weight that's been gained and lost and gained back, if we was paid a half a cent a pound, we would be wealthy, 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 wealthy. Probably wouldn't have to go far outside this congregation to get rich. But people get with a program and for a while they do it, but then all of a sudden temptation comes. Oh. And we just begin to indulge a little here and a little there, and all of a sudden we blow it. And we're right back where we started. Spiritually, I've seen people like that. I've seen revival come along, and God's people get around the altar and pray through and get right with God, and all of a sudden they started exercising themselves toward godliness. They started training themselves in a spiritual fitness program, and man, they were getting in great spiritual shape. They could pray with power. They would rebuke the devil with power. They would witness with power. They would run with power. They would fight with power. Man, on fire for God. You could count on them. And then I watched those same people sometimes, when they got themselves in spiritual shape,
begin to lack, begin to loosen up a little bit, and temptation would come, and they begin to indulge in this and that, and after a while they lost their strength, they lost their fire, they lost their fervor, and they were spiritually flabby, and now they have no desire, now they have no power, now they have no get up and go. I want to tell you, God wants His people to be spiritually fit for the days in which we live in. Next slide. I want a spiritual fitness program. What I want to say to you this morning is, when He said, get yourself in spiritual shape, He knew there were some things that everybody had to do and have to do for yourself. Now, what I want to say to you this morning is, how many of you want a spiritual pastor? Raise your hand. How many of you want a spiritual pastor? Well, amen. I would. But I want to tell you, no matter how you want that, it's going to be, if I'm spiritual or not, it's going to be dependent upon me. There are some spiritual exercises I've got to go through before I get up here in this pulpit if I'm going to make any kind of impression upon you and make the devil mad. And the same spiritual fitness program I'm on, you've got to be on. This spiritual fitness program is not just for preachers and teachers. It's for every child of God. Let me list to you very hurriedly this morning. See, my whole message is, you owe it to this church family to get yourself in good spiritual shape. When we get in good spiritual shape, we're going to function like we've never functioned before. We're going to produce like we've never produced before. We're going to conquer like we've never conquered before. We're going to overcome like we've never overcome before. We're going to make the devil mad like we've never made him before. But we're going to be winners because we're in spiritual shape. In order to keep yourself and get yourself spiritually fit, one of the first things you must do is confess your sin. You must confess your sin. Sin will sap you. Sin will take the strength out of you. Sin will cause deterioration. Sin is like a cancer in a physical body that's trying to build itself up physically while cancer is eating away at that body. They can exercise all they want to. They can eat the proper diet all they want to. But if they've got a cancer on the inside, it will destroy that body unless it is dealt with, eradicated, or removed. And my friends, you can do everything right spiritually, but if you've got unconfessed sin in your life, you will never improve spiritually. Sin must be dealt with. Sin must be confessed. Sin must get out of your life. Before you can ever get on a spiritual training program, you must get sin out of your life. I want to tell you, after you get in this program, you may sin again. But you don't need to keep it there. You pray over it. Ask God to forgive you. We need to keep spiritually clean. And you do that through the blood of Jesus Christ. You know what it is to get sin in your life? It'll weaken you. To get on a spiritual fitness program, you must be honest. You must confess your sins. You must get sins under the blood. You must have forgiveness. Then, my friends, one of the first things you must do in this spiritual fitness program is you must pray. I believe prayer is the hardest work of a Christian. I want you to hear what I said. I believe praying is the hardest work of the Christian. I believe the proof of that is that so many people lack a desire to pray. But I want you to tell you, there is no way that you're going to get yourself in good spiritual shape without praying. No matter how much else you do spiritually, if you don't pray, you will never be strong spiritually. Prayer works. Prayer, my friends, takes discipline. Prayer takes self-denial. Prayer means I say no to myself in order that I might find time with God. But in order to be spiritually fit and get yourself in spiritual shape, you must pray. I wish you'd write these down. Got a pen. So if I'm going to tell you how to get in spiritual shape, write them down in your mind if you don't put them anywhere else. Just like you were to go to a doctor and say, "Doctor, I'm in bad physical health and I want to get in spiritual health. I'm in physical health. Tell me what to do." The doctor gives you the prescription. If you do it, you may improve. I'm telling you what I'm giving you this morning. I guarantee you, you will improve. Spiritually. To maintain a place of spiritual health and spiritual fitness, you must confess your sins. You must pray. Another, my friends, is if you're to become spiritually fit, you must nourish yourself on the Word of God. I believe there's too much junk food going on. I believe we've got too many jack-in-the-box places. Fast food restaurants. Too many cafeterias. Smorgasbord. We want to go through there and take what we want and leave what we don't want. I want to tell you, before you will ever become spiritually fit, you must devour the entire Word of God. You must nourish yourself with the entire Word of God. I believe the Word has all the spiritual vitamins and nourishment you need. I want to tell you, you will never become spiritually fit by reading books about the Bible, or listening to tapes about the Bible, or listening to sermons about the Bible, or listening to songs about the Bible. The only way it's going to do you any good is you're going to have to devour the Bible for yourself. I mean, these preachers that are in my congregation, they study the Word, they preach the Word, and I thank God they do. But I want to tell you, they can't eat the Word for me. I must get the Word of God in myself. You must get the Word of God in yourself. You must take this. And in order to get yourself in spiritual shape, you must confess your sins. You must pray. And then you must take the Word of God, the entire Word of God, and devour it, love it, live by it. Thank God for the Word. So many people want to go get it. Well, after somebody's already eaten it and digested it for them, and then give it to them. You got to digest it for yourself. You got to get it in yourself. So my friends, and I must hurry. You must confess sins. You must pray. You must read your Bible in order to gain spiritual business. You must also, my friends, gain that by giving. I don't believe there's any way for a man to get spiritually fit who is a stingy Christian. The more you give, the more you receive. How many of you believe that? The law of increase is give and you shall have it given to you. Receive and give. Receive and give. Receive and give. Give and receive. My friends, you will never be what God wants you to be if you don't give God what belongs to Him. And my friends, in order to be spiritually fit, I'm out in a hurry this morning. You must exercise your faith. You must exercise your faith. You must take the faith that you have and then begin to exercise it toward God and toward great things for Him. In order, my friends, to become spiritually fit, you must not only confess your sins, pray, read your Bible, and give, and exercise your faith. Some people say, "Well, Brother Jack, I see you people praying for the sick, and sometimes I don't see them healed." That's all right. We're exercising our faith. Hallelujah. "I see you ask God for mighty things, and sometimes I don't see them come." That's all right. We're exercising our faith. And if we exercise our faith, I guarantee you we'll see results in the long run. And my friends, we must not only do that, heal ourselves in spiritual fitness, we must use our gifts and talents that God has bestowed upon us. We must not hide our talents. We must not sit in the pews and isolate our talents. We must use the things that God has given us that we might build His kingdom and build and edify believers. Not only, my friends, I have spiritual fitness, must we pray and read God's Word and give and meditate and exercise faith and use our talents in order that we might grow spiritually fit. We must learn the ability to pray. I believe we grow by praising. I believe, my friends, in order to get spiritually fit, we must not only do that, but we must fellowship with God's people. I believe I'll become stronger by working out with you. Hey, I like to work out with believers. Every now and then when I'm at the Y, I jog with a Church of God preacher and a Baptist preacher. I enjoy running around that lap with. When you run around 55, 60 times, you won't run with anybody. And we just run that Baptist preacher, that Church of God preacher. And we just run, and we talk all the time running about God. You know, it just seems like 35, 40, 45 minutes goes so quickly when you're working out with somebody else. Well, that's why I like to come to church. I like to work out with you. Hallelujah. I believe this is a spiritual gymnasium today, and we're working out our spiritual muscles for the glory of God. Amen. You believe that? And when I leave out of here, I want you to know I believe that I'm a little better off spiritually than I was when I come. Then, my friend, to get ourselves in spiritual fitness, we must deny ourselves some things. We must discipline ourselves. And I have more, but I've got to quit. I want to tell you, friends, when we look at our football players and our baseball players, right now it's spring training. A while back it's the fall program for football players. And they all go into the training program, getting themselves to do one thing. They get themselves physically prepared to play baseball. They get themselves physically prepared to play football. They just don't run out there on the field cold turkey. They say, we're going to have a training program so many weeks where we're going to exercise you, we're going to run you, we're going to put you on a diet, we're going to put you on a weight program, and we're going to build you up so when you go out there to participate, you'll be in great physical shape. Well, I want to tell you something, friends. They discipline themselves and deny themselves in order to win an earthly crown, to win a World Series ring or a Super Bowl ring. How much greater should God's people be in exercising themselves in godliness? In godliness, he said. In godliness. Be godlike, friends. Exercise yourself. Get in a spiritual fit and training program. And the message I want to leave with you this morning is the members of this church family, you owe it to your church family to get yourself in great spiritual shape. Let me believe that. Will you stand to your feet? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Paul says, Timothy, don't waste time arguing about foolish ideas and silly men. Bless you. Spend your time and energy in the exercise of keeping yourself spiritually fit. I want to be spiritually fit. How about you? Our Father, we come to you this morning to thank you. Thank you for your great grace. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for being in the family of God. And oh Lord, our great desire is, God, that we would be in good spiritual shape for the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Oh Lord, we desire that we would be in great spiritual shape so we can war a good warfare down here. Where, God, we can be in the shape to fight and overcome the enemy of our soul. Where we would be in the kind of spiritual shape we could edify and build up believers in the body of Christ. Lord, we'd be in the kind of spiritual shape when the storms come that we will be able to endure and overcome because we're in great spiritual shape. Oh, Lord, help us. I wonder why heads are bowed and eyes are closed while our musicians are playing some song. I wonder how many out there this morning would say, Brother Jack, my desire as a Christian is I want to get myself in great spiritual shape. And I want to tell you, I want to put us on a program in the month of March that will get us there. If you'll do what I've told you to do this whole month, we're going to walk out of the month of March ready for Easter like we've never been before. How many of you say, Brother Jack, I'm not as in good a spiritual shape as I'd like to be, but I'm going to take the challenge this morning. I'm going to begin to exercise myself unto godliness. Would you raise your hand? Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm willing to spend a little of my time and energy getting myself spiritually fit. Thank God for you that raised your hand. I believe what you said this morning. I believe you're going to do it. I believe you're going to get on this spiritual exercise program that I talked to you about. And I believe you're going to be stronger spiritually in the next few weeks than you've ever been. Thank God, I feel that in my spirit. I feel that in my spirit that God's going to work with you as you work with Him. And you're going to come out a strong soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ. A great racer in His race. You're going to finish this. I wonder why heads are still bowed. Is there somebody up there say, Brother Jack, I'm not a Christian. Would you remember to pray for me? Would you raise your hand? Anybody in the congregation? Anybody? What if anybody out there say, I'm backslid. I need your prayer. Would you raise your hand? God bless you. I follow that hand. God bless you. Thank you, dear God. Now I want you to take your brothers and sisters by the hand right there. I'll tell you, friends, this subject, this message, if you'll take it seriously and take it to heart, and you'll start exercising your spirit yourself spiritually, we're gonna see a change. And not only you, but in this body. Thank you, Lord. I want you to pray for your brother, sister, right now that God would help them to get in the greatest spiritual shape they've ever been in before. Amen. Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. Hands were raised all over the house this morning. Covenant with us, dear God, that they desire to get themselves in good spiritual shape. Lord, spiritual fitness. They're going to endeavor to put themselves, dear God, on a program, a spiritual program that will fill them up spiritually, dear God, to be everything you want them to be, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, what we need today is some David who's not afraid to attack the Goliath, hallelujah. What we need today is some Pauls who are willing to give themselves completely. Some Wesleys, some Moody's, some Denny's, dear God. Oh, God, in the name of Jesus, we pray that, Lord, as we leave here, we remember that we owe it to one another and to the family of God to get ourselves spiritually fit. May that be the number one priority of our life. The number one priority of our life is that we might be spiritually fit. Bless, we pray as we go to our homes. We thank you, dear God, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. While we're singing, I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. Shake hands, go with God, and God goes with you. Amen. Hallelujah.